Welcome to another romance program. I'm volunteer Jeannie Yost for Sun Sounds. I've got two stories coming up this hour. The first one is from True Confessions magazine called Running to Love. Here's the story. I know this will sound like a cliche, but I don't have anything to wear. I sighed as I looked over at Rachel and threw another outfit onto the bed. Just get another jog bra to put on top of the one you have on, and we'll find you a new running top with a shelf bra, Rachel said. You've committed yourself to participating, and I think it'll be good for you. There's always so much written about the side effects of chemotherapy and radiation, but you never see anything about the pain from the reconstructive surgery. I flopped down on the bed and stared up at the ceiling. I dare any of those male doctors to understand what it feels like to have a new breast and try to get into old clothes, especially running tops. Rachel laughed, grabbed an old flowered jog bra from off the bed, and started parading around the room, imitating Dr. Green, my oncologist. As soon as she wrapped her hair across her upper lip to mimic his overgrown mustache, I lost any hope of maintaining a serious face. Thank goodness for friends like her. Come on, we'll hit the sporting goods store on the way to the office, she said. We have some files to upload to get ready for Saturday. Rachel was my business partner in our event management company, and this year we were responsible for timing the town's 5K run for breast cancer. I had somehow become the local celebrity since I'd committed to running the race so soon after completing treatment and reconstructive surgery after my mastectomy. But I was definitely having my doubts. My inner coastal muscles were screaming from soreness, and I felt like there was an anvil sitting on my chest. You know, Rach, I haven't run 3 miles at a fast clip in a very long time. Olivia, you'll be fine. Stop worrying. People aren't expecting you to be as fast as you need to be, and no matter what kind of a time you run, you will have raised a lot of money for a great cause. As soon as the gun fires to start the race, your body will remember what it used to do so effortlessly. As we climbed into the car, I smiled over at her. I think the race is drawing a record number of participants. It was a great idea for it to be opened up to men also. The female competitors only concept was great, but I think with the statistics of male breast cancer becoming more mainstream, it's nice to see men coming out to support the effort. And you know what that means, Rachel grinned wickedly. The more men, the more possibility of single men. Just what I don't need. And bite your tongue for even mentioning that to me. I shook my head and scoffed. After all those issues with Brad, the last thing I'll consider is becoming friendly with someone whose voice is deeper than mine. As we pulled into the sporting goods store parking lot, Rachel playfully smacked my hand. But who else will you show off your new boobs to? Considering you barely had anything to show off before, you should be proud of your new body and all you've been through. I turned and smiled at her, but cringed inside. I really didn't think anyone who hadn't been through it could understand what it feels like to have a part of your body sliced out and then ravaged with chemicals. There were days when I didn't even want to look at myself in the mirror. Then there were days when I felt proud of my battle scars. After finally finding a new jog bra and running top that I felt would support me enough so I wouldn't be in pain while running, we headed over to the office to start uploading all the race entries into our timing database. It looked like we would have over 1,000 participants this year, and considering many of the runners had either performed some fundraising or had added extra money to their entry fee, we could expect about $25,000 to be donated to the local clinic here in Ocala. They had been on the verge of closing their doors due to lack of funds, and now we were going to be able to sustain them for a while longer. I'm going to grab a snack from the deli. Would you like anything? Rachel asked. No, thanks. I'm just going to finish up a few thank you notes to the sponsors and then probably hit the grocery store on the way home. Do you want me to wait for you and drive you back to your place? No worries. The walk will do me good. I feel guilty since I won't be running this weekend, so I want to get a little extra exercise. Plus, I have a date with Paul on Saturday after the race, and I want to be able to fit into that new blue dress I bought. We're going dancing. Rachel twirled around the office, humming as she gathered her purse and headed out the door. Within 30 seconds, I heard a knock at the office door and yelled out, "What's the matter? Has Twinkle Toes forgotten her key?" I flung the door open and turned bright red with embarrassment. It wasn't Rachel, but a man with an envelope in his extended hand, and a very handsome man at that. "I have been called a lot of things in my lifetime, but Twinkle Toes certainly isn't one of them." But there was definitely a twinkle in his brown eyes as he said it. "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry," I eked out. "I thought you were my business partner coming back." He smiled and a slight dimple showed on his cheek. "Actually, I'll take it as a compliment since I have been told that I have absolutely no rhythm on the dance floor." "Join the club," I said. I was the girl who had the boys hiding before the Sadie Hawkins dance just so I wouldn't ask them. "But enough of my junior high school story. What can I do for you?" "Well, I was hoping that I wasn't too late to enter the 5K this week, and I brought my entry form, and I also included another check as a donation from my company." As he handed me the envelope, our fingers touched, and I felt a tingle all the way down my spine. "My name's Austin," he said as he stuck out his other hand to shake mine. "I'm Olivia Adams, and it is definitely not too late to enter the race. We're actually going to accept entries until just before the race starts to hopefully get as many people as we can. I'm sure there are a few people who want to see what the weather will be like before they venture out. With the latest heat wave we've been having, I'm sure it'll be tough on more than a few runners. I also have some friends of mine who want to volunteer at one of the water stations, but I'll be honest, I think they are only doing it for the idea of having a bunch of women grabbing at them. They may not help any of the men. Austin smiled. They've already told me that they won't be saving anything for me. Oh, I'm sure we have some women that are thinking the exact same thing, but in reverse. Living in a small town can do that to you. Your friends can meet with the volunteer coordinator on race morning, and she'll get them set up. Why did I feel like I was staring and babbling? I stopped talking, took a deep breath, and looked down at the floor. Okay, well, if there's anything else I need to do, please let me know. Otherwise, I hope I'll see you on Saturday. Austin turned toward the door and then turned back around. And Olivia, it was nice to meet you. As I closed the door behind him, I shook my head and muttered to myself, just what you don't need, remember? As soon as my husband, Brad, found out that I had cancer, he hightailed it out of my life as fast as he could. He'd said that he couldn't handle the idea of losing me. What? As if that made any sense. The hurt runs pretty deep when you find out you have cancer and then your husband decides he can't handle it and files for divorce. I didn't swear off men, but I knew that I didn't want the strain of a relationship. Even so, it was funny how the heart will still flutter at a cute guy. I sat at my desk and pulled out Austin's entry form and entered it into the database. Then I pulled out the donation check, a check for $1,000 from Stonewell Construction. Wow! I glanced back at Austin's entry form and looked at his last name, Stonewall. When he had said, my company, I just thought he meant the company where he worked, but it was his company. I'd have to remember to search him out on Saturday to thank him. Friday was a blur and a whirlwind of activity with preparations. Rachel and I started our day by meeting with the grocery chain that was providing the sports drinks and water for the aid stations and the food for the finish line area. Then we were off to the signage company to make sure the t-shirts, banners, and awards were ready. And finally, back to the office to make sure the deliveries of portable toilets, fencing, and balloon arches were scheduled for early morning deliveries. By the end of the day, I was so exhausted that I'd completely forgotten my fear of lacing up my running shoes and racing the 5K in the morning. Prior to my diagnosis, I had been an active athlete and participated in many running races and triathlons. My love of sports was actually what motivated me to open up the event management company. And I lucked out by having one of my closest friends as excited as I was to open our own business and do what we love. I used to win awards in my age group at most races. Unfortunately, my head still thought I could do that. I would just have to wait and see what my body followed through with. As I climbed into bed, the phone rang. I just wanted to wish you good luck tomorrow, Rachel said. I know that you're nervous, and I know that you're having doubts, but I want you to know that you are the strongest woman I've ever met, and I'm proud of you no matter how you finish. Just the fact that you're back out there after all you have been through is an amazing accomplishment. You're my hero. Stop or you'll make me cry and I'll be puffy tomorrow, I smiled into the phone. But thank you, you're one in a million friend. And I almost forgot, Rachel continued. Make sure you save enough energy because you're coming dancing with Paul and me. And I'm not taking no for an answer, really. It's time that you get a little gussied up and come out on the town to celebrate. Oh, Rach, I don't know. Can we talk about it tomorrow? Nope, I'm pulling rank on this one. You owe me a favor or two since I was forced to hold breast implants, imagining how they would look on you. Sleep tight. Rachel giggled and didn't even wait for a response as she hung up the phone. Egads, I'm stuck. Now I have to find another outfit. And I have to stop talking to myself. I snickered as I lay down in bed. There was no doubt that I owed Rachel plenty. She had held down the fort while I went for all my treatments and was there to help me pick myself off the bathroom floor after getting sick, and she was the first one to bring me colorful scarves to cover up my head until my hair grew back in. I guess the plan was dancing tomorrow night. 30 minutes to race time, the announcer bellowed over the sound system. Be sure to stop by this sponsor booth to thank them for their support and see all the freebies that they're giving out. I handed a race packet to a runner that was in line and turned to Rachel. I better go to the bathroom and start warming up. It seems like the volunteers are doing a great job filtering through the lines of people picking up their race numbers. All right, sweetie, remember, I'm behind you all the way. Rachel laughed. I'm so far behind you, I'll just meet you at the finish line. I jogged off and started my pre-race preparations. I was wearing a double jog bra and a Schimmel sport top with a shelf bra. I didn't think anything on the top half of my body could move, but even if it did, I wouldn't feel the pain. I was so excited. For the first time in a long time, I actually felt alive. Maybe it was the adrenaline, or maybe it was being around so much positive energy, but I felt like I could conquer the world. As I lined up on the starting line, I made some small talk with many of the runners whom I knew well. So many of them gave encouraging words, I felt like I would burst. And when the national anthem played and the flags were presented, it was all I could do to choke back my tears of happiness. Bang! The starting gun was fired and the stampede of footsteps began. After a little bit of jostling and a few zigzags to avoid the people who had started off too fast, I settled into a nice pace. I actually felt good. My cardiovascular level had taken a big hit during my treatments, but I knew if I stayed steady and focused on a good pace, I'd be okay. Mile marker 1, 7 minutes, 30 seconds. Not bad at all. The other runners had settled into a nice stream, and it wasn't as crowded around me as the start. I saw a few people I recognized, and I took that as a sign that I was maintaining a good pace. Go, Olivia! Yelled someone from the sidelines of the waiter's station. I picked my hand up and waved thanks. Then a deep voice that was only a little breathless startled me from behind. I thought that was you. I turned my head to the left and saw that it was Austin. Cute, generous, and he can run. Hi, Austin, I panted. You're doing great, Olivia. Keep it up, he said as he ran past me. Now, if that wasn't incentive to push a little harder, I don't know what would be. I had been called competitive before, and I had to agree with that assessment. I picked up my pace a little to stay immediately behind Austin. Mile my marker 2, 14 minutes, 47 seconds. Mile 2 was faster than mile 1, and I still felt good. This was exciting. I stayed behind Austin for the next half mile and then pulled up next to him. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see that he glanced over and smiled, but he didn't say a word. We just ran in sync. It felt so good to hear the crowds along the side of the road cheering us on, and it felt even better to be back during what had been temporarily taken away from me during my illness. I've heard people say that having cancer was a blessing in disguise because they now looked at life differently, but I'd never understood that until now. I felt as though everything around me was enhanced, and all my senses were more alive than they'd ever been. It was exhilarating. I could see the finish line in the distance, and I could feel that Austin had picked up the pace slightly. Mile marker 3, only 1/10 of a mile to go, and we had run mile 3 even faster than mile 2. Wordlessly, both Austin and I picked up our paces until we were running stride for stride and pumping our arms in tandem. I could see Rachel jumping up and down at the end of the finish line chute as Austin and I crossed the finish line together. "Great job, Olivia," Austin smiled as he patted me on the shoulder. "You're an amazing runner with a great finishing kick." Thanks to you, I think we did negative splits the whole way, and you don't even seem like you're breathing hard. I was only managing about 3 words per breath. Rachel came rushing up to us and gushed, "As you were nervous, Olivia, you did great. I actually think you may have placed in your age group. How do you feel?" "I feel great. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, and everything stayed where it should." Rachel and I shared a good laugh while Austin looked a little confused. "Rachel, this is Austin Stonewall. Austin, this is Rachel Baker, my business partner." I introduced the two of them as we walked through the finish line chute and off to the post-race refreshment area. "You must be the twinkle toes that Olivia was referring to when I dropped off my application," Austin stated. He explained to Rachel how he had stopped by the office earlier in the week and had probably just missed meeting her. "Good old Rachel, who didn't miss a trick. Well, I hope you'll join us tonight at the club at 8 o'clock to go dancing. We're celebrating a successful race and an Olivia comeback." "Comeback?" asked Austin. Rachel widened her eyes a little and looked apologetically at me. "Well, Olivia can tell you all about it. Sorry, but I've got to check with my score table to make sure that everything is running smoothly. Wouldn't want any of the runners not to have accurate times." She gave me a quick peck on the cheek and whispered, "I'm sorry I said that, but I'm so proud of you." As Rachel jogged back to the finish area, I walked with Austin and grabbed a banana and a sports drink as we made our way to a shady spot behind the sponsor booths. I stopped along the way to congratulate some of the runners. Almost everyone congratulated me and told me, "Welcome back," or "We missed you." By the time we sat down and started to do some post-race stretching, I figured I'd just blurt it out. "I had breast cancer, and this is the first race I've done since my diagnosis." Austin was quiet, looking down and folded and fiddled with the lid to his drink. "My wife died of breast cancer 2 years ago." Silence. Then we both started talking at once. I started. Austin began. We both laughed, and Austin said, "Well, now that we have all the baggage on the table," I don't know if it was the look in his eyes or the way he tilted his head when he said it, but I just felt a sigh of relief. After dealing with Brad's insecurities, I guess I had created my own insecurities that other men would shy away from me after learning that I was damaged goods. Austin told me that he'd been married for less than 3 years when his wife was diagnosed. He said that that was one of the reasons for his support of the race. His work became his life after his wife died, and his construction company had reaped the benefits of his workaholic obsession. "I'd better go help Rachel to make sure that everyone is doing what they're supposed to be doing so we can get the participants' times posted on the scoring board. Plus, we have to get prepared for the awards ceremony." "Wait until you see the cool awards. If you're lucky, maybe you'll get one. I stood up and took a deep breath before asking my next question. So do you think you'll be able to join us tonight at the club for a little celebration and dancing? I asked. Austin stood up next to me and cleared his throat. Olivia, I have to be honest. I haven't been on a date since my wife died, and this is the first time in a long time that I felt this great about meeting someone. You have really been a bright spot in my week since I first met you. I would love to see you this evening. Wow, talk about sending a warm shiver down my entire body. This was a guy who wasn't afraid to take a chance and say that what he was thinking. I guess we both have been a little gun-shy when it comes to relationships. I may as well lay it all on the table now. My husband left me when I was diagnosed, and we're now divorced. I haven't even considered dating since then. This will be a new experience for both of us. Austin's dimple surfaced again as his smile deepened. Then I'll see you tonight, Olivia. He bent down and gave me a quick peck on the cheek and headed off toward the parking lot. Even if it hadn't been almost 80 degrees, I would have melted on the spot. My knees became weak and I could feel my heart pounding in my chest. I had so badly wanted to turn my face so that kiss would have landed on my lips instead. I jogged back over to the score table with a huge grin from ear to ear. I'm so nervous. You know that Brad always said I have two left feet. And what was I thinking about dating? It's crazy. I was already starting to worry. Olivia, relax. We're only going to hang out and it will be a very casual night. I promise not to leave you stranded. I'll bet Paul and Austin will get along great and we can just make it a celebration party, Rachel said as she helped me style my hair. Do you think this dress is too revealing? I asked as I readjusted the neckline. Olivia, you have to get used to your new body and realize that you look fantastic. Flaunt what you have and be comfortable in your skin. Remember what all those support groups told you. You're beautiful with or without breasts, and you just happen to have a great plastic surgeon, so enjoy the results. I sighed. I know how I'm supposed to feel, but it's still scary. I'm telling you, Rach, this guy is so easy to be around, so relaxed and just plain nice. I feel like a nervous teenager. So, as we grabbed our purses and headed out the door, Rachel giggled and said, "If you want me to leave you alone with Austin, just give me the sign, and Paul and I will split. Of course, I can take a hint if I see you making out with him." "You are such a bad influence on me, you know that?" I chuckled as we closed the door. The music was already blaring and the dance floor was crowded for so early in the night. We met up with Paul while keeping an eye out for Austin. As soon as he walked in the door, I could feel the blood rush in parts of me that I thought had been dormant. He looked so darn handsome. I caught his eye and he made his way over to us and introduced himself to Paul. "We're going to venture our way out onto the dance floor," Paul yelled above the din of the music as he and Rachel worked their way through the crowd. The next song that came on was a slower love song. Austin looked at me with a sheepish grin. "Do you want to sacrifice your feet to begin stepped on? To being stepped on and take a chance with me on the dance floor? I can guarantee you that I will step on you first." I laughed as I took his hand and we made our way to the middle of the crowd, swaying to the music. Austin wrapped his one arm around my waist and pulled me close. I could feel the butterflies in my stomach and a tingle in every sexual orifice of my body. We moved in perfect rhythm to the music, and he brushed his lips against my neck. I felt myself go weak in the knees, and I clung to him tighter. I looked up at Austin's face and into those amazing brown eyes, and then down to his waiting lips. The last thing I saw before I melted into his kiss was that adorable dimple. We kissed and swayed to the rest of the song and regretfully pulled apart as a new upbeat song began to play. The rest of the night became an exercise in futility to keep our hands to ourselves. We left the club after a few hours and made our way back to Austin's house. We barely got the front door closed before he began to ravage my lips and neck with kisses. Any self-doubt I had about my new body and the scars left behind were forgotten as we made passionate love. Austin's tender kisses and gentle tracing with his fingertips over my breasts made me realize that I was a whole new woman. That night was just the beginning of our love affair, and when Austin proposed to me 6 months later, there was no doubt in my mind that we had each healed in our own separate ways and were ready to face whatever came our way together. Okay, that's the end of that story. I hope you enjoyed it. I thought it was good. If you tuned in late, this is the Romance Program with volunteer Jeannie Yost for Sun Sounds. My next story is from True Romance magazine. It's called Bargain for Love. Here's a story. I love the day after Christmas even more than the holiday itself. As far as the gifts are concerned, I know the true meaning of Christmas, the importance of family and tradition, and the birth of Jesus. Trust me, I get it, and it means a lot to me. But all of these sales the next day, it's like a treasure hunt. As far as I'm concerned, it's better than Black Friday. So the morning after the big day, I loaded up the gifts I didn't want. Sorry, Aunt Faye, I've told you I don't wear turtlenecks, especially not with penguins on them. Wrapped a scarf around my neck and trudged out into the snow, ready for battle. I know I'm not the only post-holiday warrior. Things can get ugly at a 75% off sale. I was properly caffeinated, dressed for battle, and ready to rumble for marked down holiday merchandise. I drove to the store early, right after it opened. The parking lot was packed, and not surprisingly, the returns line was already snaking through the store. No problem, though, I was expecting it. So I got in line, walking to return my stuff, get store credit, and then scour the shelves for bargains. My heart was actually beating quickly, just thinking about it. Pathetic, I know. I smiled at the guy who scooted in line behind me. I looked at the packages he held against his chest. "So take it you're not a fan of the Snuggie?" I asked. He rolled his eyes. "Oh, sure I am. Just not four of them. I'm hard to buy for, apparently." I laughed. "You must not have had hobbies or collections, then." He ran a hand through his mussed-up hair. He must have just gotten out of bed. He looked really cute, though. Brown wavy hair and pale blue eyes. He frowned. "I guess I don't have any hobbies these days. I used to run, but I don't have the time for that anymore. Work keeps me pretty busy." "But how did you know?" "Simple, because you would have been returning novelty golf items if you were a golfer, or a 365 days of tennis calendar or something. Once people know you have a hobby or collection, you're toast." I had to send out an email informing my friends and family that I was no longer collecting unicorns, and in fact had stopped collecting them when I was 12. Once people know you collect something, forget it. You're doomed to get frogs or ducks or cat figurines for the rest of your life. He laughed. Good to know. I won't start collecting anything. I raised an eyebrow, feeling bold. And you must not have a girlfriend or a wife. He rubbed his stubby chin. Why do you say that? Because she would have volunteered to bring your stuff back for you so she could go shopping. He frowned a little. Actually, I am seeing someone, but she hates shopping. A woman who hates shopping? Weird, I said with a little bit of regret, because Mr. Snuggle was cute, like Snuggle under the Snuggle together kind of cute. I'm Joy, I held out my hand. I'm Landon, and I should have known better than to come here today, but I couldn't stand to look at these things for another minute. He looked around the store wearily. Oh, you picked the best day to come here. All those sales? In fact, I'm going to finish my Christmas shopping today. I crossed my arms, very satisfied with myself. I felt energized, ready to go. He scrunched his eyebrows together. What do you mean? Christmas is over. I nodded. True, but I haven't visited all my aunts and friends and their little kiddos yet, so they'll never know I'm scooping up little Christmas gifts today at a super bargain. I mean, what's the difference if I bought the Bath and Body set 2 weeks ago for $20 or if I buy it today for $5? He nodded appreciatively. I never thought of that. You're right. I have a bunch of people I haven't seen for the holidays yet and could pick a few gifts up for them. Where are these mythical bargains? I pointed to the back of the store. I'll show you myself after we return our stuff. I'll give you a crash course in Joy's Bargain Shopping 101 if you want. Okay, you're on, he said. I got my store credit for $53.78 and waited for Landon. Now, snuggle, free, and ready to roll. Okay, rule number one, you have to grab a cart, even if you think you're not going to buy much, because you never know what you're going to find. 1 year I found gourmet fondue pots for 90% off. Can you imagine if I had to go back for a cart? Someone else would have gotten them. His eyes widened. They mark things off 90%? Sometimes, if you've got some really good shopping karma going on, they were $3.90 each. I bought 10 of them, and half my Christmas shopping was done for the next year. Helps to have a lot of storage at home, by the way. I shook a cart loose from the front of the store. Now, if you're shopping on Black Friday, you better grab one of these in the parking lot, because chances are they're all being used. Black Friday, that's the day after Thanksgiving, right? He added. I grabbed his arm. You're kidding, right? A smile split his face. Yeah, I am. Even I have heard about Black Friday. Landon grabbed a cart and followed me. I feel like I should be writing this all down. I laughed. Really, I should write a book. Then I wouldn't have to bargain shop with all that money, right? Although I think I'd still bargain even if I were a billionaire. It's exciting to see what kind of deals I can score. Okay, back to business. Now, sometimes having a cart will slow you down, especially if the aisles are packed with other carts. So sometimes it's good to shop with a friend who can guard the cart while you squeeze through the crowds to grab your loot. Then you take turns. Shop with a buddy, he frowned. Now that might be a tough sell for the guys I know. I laughed and thought, wow, funny and cute. What a keeper, if not for the pesky girlfriend problem. We cruised back toward the seasonal section. Here's another good tip. If you see something you like, grab it. Don't think about it. You can always put it back. But if you walk away from it, chances are someone else will take it. Landon swallowed hard, and we stopped in front of the five aisles of marked-down holiday goodies. People were swarming the aisles, some already wheeling away overflowing carts. "I'm scared," he said. I laughed. "I won't let you get hurt. Who are you shopping for?" He scratched his head, still scoping out the situation. "I have a couple of dinner parties to go to, and I didn't buy anything for my Uncle Jerry yet, and I always like giving my nieces a gift here and there." "Good. Look for ornaments or fancy holders for the wine bottles for those dinner parties, bath stuff or hair accessories for the gifts, and for the girls, that is. And if you see solid red wrapping paper, grab it. You can use that for any occasion." He took a deep breath and nodded. "Ready to go in?" I asked. "Ready." "Oh, one more thing."
"What?"
"Keep an eye on your cart. People will totally pluck the good stuff out if you're not looking," I warned.
"Come on. You're kidding." He gave me a funny look. I held up one hand, palm facing outward. "Honest to God, now let's go."
We pushed in with our carts, and I reached out and plucked a pair of fleece PJs from a shelf without stopping. We maneuvered our way into the front or the first aisle. "Okay, here's the bath and body stuff. There are great gifts. These are great gifts for birthdays for the women in your life. Just hide it from your girlfriend so she doesn't know what you really paid." I grabbed the baskets filled with creams and soaps before Landon could register what I was saying. "Move it or lose it, Landon." He plucked two baskets from the shelf and dropped them in his cart. I pointed behind him, "And we've got cute little baskets of girls' hair supplies over here, perfect for your nieces." I handed him two and grabbed a few for myself. "So how much will these be after the 75% off?" he asked, looking at the $15 price tag, doing the mental math. "Easy, $375," I quickly answered. "If it's 75% off, divide the original price in half and then in half again. So 15 would be $375. 30 would be $75. 50% off is easy enough. And if you're lucky enough to find anything 90% off, just grab it. But if you really want to know how much it costs, just take a zero off the end of the price. A $50 item would be $5. He stood frozen, taking it all in. "I guess you have done this a few times." I shrugged and handed him a stuffed cat holding a box of earrings, perfect for the nieces on Valentine's Day. "Thanks," he said, setting it in his cart. "Looks like aisle 3 has the entertaining supplies. You could find some stuff for your dinner parties over there." I led him over to aisle 3 and wondered if Landon thought I was a cheapskate. Maybe I shouldn't let major date material see this side of me so soon. But then again, I reminded myself, he's not on the market, so no worries. I took off my coat and tossed it in the cart. It was hard to maneuver in a tiny aisle. Plus, I was working up a sweat. We rolled our carts into the entertainment aisle, pushing past others, shoppers, nice and polite. No mall rage or anything, but you've got to be assertive. I saw a cute set of coasters, the kind you add your own photos to, and went to grab them, but someone snatched them off the shelf before I could get to them. "Huh? That hardly ever happens to me." I looked up a little ticked. I'd been wanting photo coasters.
Landon held them up in triumph. My jaw dropped and I wagged a finger at him. You catch on quick. I have a good teacher. He handed them to me. I held my hands up. No way. Those are yours. Well done. One side of the mouth quirked up and he placed them in his cart. We made our way through the aisles, laughing and joking and scooping up bargains. After an hour of shopping, we headed for the checkout lines. My cart was overflowing with stuff, and Landon had a good pile in his. The lines were long to check out, but you've got to expect that kind of thing. I pulled out a granola bar and offered one to Landon. You got to be prepared for long lines, hunger, and dehydration on your shopping expeditions. He laughed. No, I'm good. I think I'm going to grab some lunch after this. Would you like to join me? I'd love to thank you for your on-the-spot bargain shopping education. I smiled and dropped my granola bar back in my purse. I'd love to. My total bill was only $68. Landon only had to fork over 42 smackaroos, and he checked the receipt 3 times to make sure it was right. We dropped our goodies in our cars and planned to meet at a restaurant down the street for lunch. I pulled my hair out of my efficient shopper's ponytail and dabbed on a little lip gloss. It figures that I'd meet a cute guy while I was scrounging for deals in comfortable but not cute clothes, no makeup, and a totally uninspired do. But, oh well, we were going to lunch, weren't we? Landon was waiting for me by the hostess station. So you don't think I'm a total nut? I asked him. It's kind of like a sport for me, really. I like to bring home my spoils and show them off to my mother when she visits. Sometimes I let her buy stuff from me. He laughed. You're not nuts. You're smart. Gotta do what you gotta do in this economy, right? Absolutely. I sell insurance. He let out a breath. I bartend while I'm finishing up my graduate degree, and let me tell you, the tips ain't what they used to be. I looked up into his beautiful blue eyes and suddenly felt a little shy. That whole shopping extravaganza had felt pretty intimate in the afterglow. Where do you bartend? Over at McAllister's. Oh, yeah, I know where that is. Never been there, though. Nope, you haven't, because I would have remembered you. Well, lunch is on me today. Joy, you saved me a bundle. From this day forth, I am a bargain hunter. I scanned the menu and checked out the 2 for $10 lunch specials. I pointed it out to London. That's a good deal. I'll give you that. But get whatever you want. I'm in the mood for a big, juicy burger. We finished lunch, and I was sad for the day's adventure to come to an end. So are you going to show your girlfriend your shopping trophies or keep it a secret? I tried not to sound too put out. He blew out his breath. I guess I'll show her. There's a whole discounted world out there for us to discover. Lucky girl, I said, and I meant it. Landon was a catch, just not my catch. Like the best bargain in the store that someone else snatched from under you. Worse, even, losing those photo coasters. I had a blast the next week visiting my cousin Tanya. Her 3 girls each got their very own bath and body set. They argued over who would take a bath first to use them. The girls always love your gifts. You're too generous, Tanya told me. I waved her off. If only she knew the 3 sets hadn't cost me as much as 1 set would have before Christmas. I had other relatives to visit and parties to attend that week after Christmas. I knew it. It was New Year's Eve, fun for everyone, but the holiday working shifts. Fun for everyone, but the holiday working stiffs like bartenders. I always got gussed up on New Year's Eve, even if I was working. I slipped on my silvery, sparkly tank top. I pulled my curly brown hair on top of my head. I finished my dangling rhinestone earrings. Hopefully my getup would inspire some serious tipping. The bar was hopping, but not as busy as it was years ago. My shift started at 7, and before I knew it, it was 11. I was bringing champagne out from our cooler, getting ready for the midnight toast, when someone called, "Joy!" I looked up, shocked to see Landon standing there. "Hey, you must have heard about our free midnight toast," he laughed. "No, but that's one good reason to be here." "Who'd you come with?" He shrugged. "No one. Where's the girlfriend?" I blurted out. "We broke up a few days ago. It really wasn't that serious anyway." I set down the bottles of champagne and wiped my hands. "I'm sorry to hear it. What happened?" He opened his mouth and then closed it. He shook his head. I held up a hand. "I'm sorry, it's none of my business." "So what can I get you?" "No, it's okay. Believe it or not, we got in a fight after our shopping expedition." My smile fell. "I'm so sorry," I said, holding my hand over my heart. "Why?" He shrugged. "Well, she's wicked jealous and didn't like that I spent the morning with another woman." He rolled his eyes, and she was being critical of the bargains I got, thought it was cheap of me. So I told her she was a snob, and it sort of went downhill from there. I put my hands on my hips. "She sounds beastly." "I think you're right. It was a good move." I lifted one shoulder and grinned. "Thanks." I handed him his beer, but it was busy. It didn't bother him, though. He stayed at the bar, catching little bits of conversation with me. I passed out glasses of champagne. We counted down together and clinked our glasses. He reached across the bar and leaned toward me. "Is it okay if I give you a kiss?" I nodded. He brushed his lips against mine. "Hey, I didn't mention that I'm having a New Year's party. I'd love for you to come," I said. "After work tonight?" "No, next Saturday. I'm going to pick up all the discounted New Year's stuff tomorrow." He laughed. "Of course you are." Well, that made my tummy tumble. I gave him the information for the party and then had to deal with the crash of customers at the bar. Landon caught my eye over the crowd and waved good night. Well, that was a long week of waiting, but I picked up my super cheap supplies. I didn't have to wait long. Landon was the first one there. He looked gorgeous in a pale blue shirt. "Wow, you look gorgeous," he said. I twirled around in my purple party dress, 50% off. "Well done. I brought you something," he said. "You didn't have to." I took the gift. "Photo coasters? How did you know? You must have spent a fortune on these," I teased. "I did indeed." He came in and kind of wished I hadn't invited anyone else, but the crowd picked up and I had to play hostess. "That was fun," he said, picking up a steamer that had fallen down. "I'll get that tomorrow. You don't have to help me clean up." I flopped on the couch. He put his arm around me and smiled. "So what's your New Year's resolution?" I asked. "To never pay full retail price again and to hang out with women smart enough to do the same." He leaned over and kissed me again, nearly knocking the breath out of me. "So what's yours?" he asked. "To do a lot more than this," I said, kissing him back. "What a bargain, right? tons of fun and totally free. He laughed and pulled me closer, and we both kept our resolutions that year. And when it came time to pick out my diamond ring a year and a half later, he made sure to shop for the absolute best price. Okay, that's the end of that story, and that's going to do it for the romance show. This has been Volunteer Jeannie Yost for Sun Sounds. Have a great week. Take care. Bye-bye.